Okay, very good. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you're such a wonderful and gracious God, that you give us all kinds of second opportunities when we fail you. You're a forgiving God for all the wrong things that we do from day to day. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have of preaching and presenting some of your teachings that you have taught your people. We love this subject about the tabernacle because it all speaks of Christ. And so thank you for the opportunity we have. I pray that you would just remove me from this teaching time, that it would only be you that would be speaking and teaching and presenting what we're going to look at today. We ask it all in our wonderful Savior's name. Amen. About 50 years ago, maybe a little more than 50 years ago, in Houston, Texas, I was a member of a little Baptist, actually it was a missionary church from First Church. That's in Houston. That's a big, big church, by the way. And so we had an old, well, he's dead and been dead for quite a while, called Dr. Mount. He was an old Baptist preacher, and he was a very, very educated man. He had an engineering degree, and he literally built this tabernacle. First time I'd ever even heard anything about it. Okay? And he brought his tabernacle to the church, and he did a whole week of study on the tabernacle. And I literally fell in love with that tabernacle. And so from that time on, this is at least the third, maybe the fourth tabernacle that I've built. This one is built to scale. 1 inch equals a cubit. Now, a cubit is 18 inches. So that's 15 inches high there, which represents 15 feet high, okay, because that's what 10 cubits is. And I couldn't put the whole tabernacle out. It would cover most of the stage, okay? So I'm just got little sections of it, and I'll talk about the rest. Okay, so today we're going to kind of tie in some Christmas things in with this study. And it's going to be very brief. You're not going to get hardly anything. Okay, it's just going to be a really, really brief thing. So I'm trying to encourage you to come back to hear some more. Okay, so let's begin. I want to begin with a New Testament scripture. Okay, in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. If you will, stand as we read together these verses of scripture. Hebrews 8, and I want to begin reading, where was it at? Verse 5, I believe it is. Let me look. Oh, I turned to 9. No wonder I couldn't figure out where it was at. Okay, beginning at verse 1, okay? Now, of the times which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto this example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. You may be seated. Let me repeat some of that, okay? Because this verse tells you that there is what? A true tabernacle in heaven. The one we see on earth is only a shadow or an example of the one in heaven. And what did it say? Who was ministering there? Who's the minister in the tabernacle in heaven, even today? It's Christ Jesus. He is our high priest. He's in heaven today, in that very spot, administering to you. Now, we know some of the things that he does, okay? We know some of the things that Jesus is doing when we pray, okay? He's there to hear us, isn't he? He answers our prayers, okay? When we confess our sins, okay? He's there to forgive us from our sins. So he is, even now, a minister there, okay? Now, this tabernacle, okay, was only an example or a pattern of the one. In fact, he told Moses, he showed Moses the real tabernacle in heaven and said, okay, you take what you see and you make one just exactly in that way. Because every piece in here speaks of Christ. And so it had to be correct. It couldn't be nothing wrong with it. It had to be exactly like God showed him, or we wouldn't know what Christ has done for us. And so it's a pretty neat, just a neat thing. Okay? I want to go now to Exodus, okay, to the 26th chapter. Beginning in verse 1, okay? Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. Linen was white, okay? With cherubims and cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the other one of the curtain shall be of the same measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the curtains, and then you're to put in gold clasp around it, 50 gold clasps, that make these 2 curtains one. Okay, now, there are 4 coverings. Today we're only going to talk about one, okay? Now, after I'm through preaching and we close up, you can come up here and see, okay? But don't do it now, okay? Okay, this is the curtain they're talking about, okay? And notice that it is what is called the tabernacle, okay? It's also referred to as a tent, okay? That same word. And so here we have blue, purple, scarlet, white, blue, then blue, purple, white, scarlet, blue, and then it's fastened together with 50 golden, and by the way, there are 50 there. It took me a while to put those together. 50 gold clasps that hold it together. Now, most scholars believe, and I do too, that these 2 curtains, okay, represent the 10 commandments, okay? There are 10 commandments, okay? 5 toward God, 5 toward man, okay? So, what did Jesus reduce those 10 commandments to? 2, didn't he? What was it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And what? And your neighbor as yourself. Well, the 5 commandments towards your neighbor tell him how to love them, okay? And what not to do. Some of the commandments are not, or do nots, and some of them are do's. And so this hooked together in one, okay, could be called what? What was the one word used in both of them? Love God, love your neighbor. If we want to reduce it to one, it's what? Love, right? That's who Christ is. This represents Christ, okay? These 4 colors represent all of his, okay, his pure humanity, white, his sacrificial blood that was shed for us. Purple is his royalty, and blue is gold. God represents God. So he's the God-man who came and died for us, eh? And then will be our king. And so this one covering represents Christ. Okay? You can come up and see it later. Okay, so this is what is called the tabernacle or the tent. Now, God did a really, really neat thing. You see? Now we understand that the temple, that was built that replaced this, is called what? What did Jesus do when he came to the temple and found that they had sellers of all kinds of things in the temple? What did he do? He chased them off, and what did he tell them? This is what? The house of prayer. That's what this is, people. This became the house of prayer. God's presence dwelt right there. And so the people would come to the front of it and pray to God. Okay, his presence was there. He heard their prayers. That's where he's at today, by the way. He's in that one in heaven listening to your prayers. But he did a very, very neat thing, which very few people understand, let's turn to a passage of scripture first, Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 15. Now this is another subject, but we're going to see how it ties together, Numbers 15, beginning in verse 37. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, And the Lord spoke again unto Moses, saying, I turned two pages. That's wrong. Verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now this became what you'll recognize. That's the piece of garment that he's talking about. This is what it, they first hooked them onto their own clothing. It was to be a rectangular piece. They put a hole in the middle. That became a garment, and they would put it on their garments. It later became what we call now know as a tallit, and we know it as what? A Jewish prayer shawl. Now here's what he did. He made it. Well, let me talk about it first. It tells you there they were to look at the fringe. Now mine don't have blue because this is a recent one. And they lost the way to make this perfect blue, and so this is one to be sold. So I don't have blue in it. But there's supposed to be one blue one. Now this is called a tzitzit. There are four of them. And the tzitzit was put together in a very, very neat way. It has five knots. You see these knots? Now, what is God's name that you know of? Yahweh, right? That's his covenant name that he made with people, Yahweh. And each of the Hebrew letters, have a numerical value. So the first letter in God's name, is Yahweh, is a, there's a Yud, which is 10, a He, two He's, and a Vav. The two He's are the fifth letter in the alphabet. The Vav is the sixth letter in the alphabet, and the Yud is the tenth letter. So if you add those up, you got 5, 6, 5, and 10, and that's exactly what you have in this. That's the loops that they make between the knots, So you have God's name written in there in numerical value. And so that's what he says. You can look at it and see who you belong to, You belong to me. You belong to Yahweh. You belong to God, Now the five knots represent the five books of the Torah, And there are eight loops, eight strands, Now, the word tzitzit has a value of 600, That's a numerical value of that word. Then there's 5 knots. That equals what? 605. Then you have 8 strands. Okay? How many does that make? That's 600 and what? 13. There's exactly 613 laws in the Torah. This, when they looked at this, they saw that they had 613 laws to obey, that they were belong to God, okay, because He was their God, and that's what this prayer did. That's what it's saying in that verse. So it helped them keep them from sinning against God. Have you ever thought maybe we need something like that? Now, this was war every day of their life, and Jesus always wore one. He would never be without one. And yet, in the pictures you see of Jesus, you ever see one of these? You don't, do you? But He wore one every day of His life. Not only Him, but all of His disciples would have had one too. Okay? Because what they did was they wrapped themselves up in this Torah, okay, like this, and that became their prayer closet. This transported them to the tabernacle, to the presence of God. And so this was their prayer shawl. When Jesus says, go into your, you know, closet and pray, that's what He's talking about. He's talking about getting under your tallit, okay, and doing that. Okay, now, something really amazing, okay, goes on. In that verse that you read, in verse 8 of that chapter, okay, there's a word there, okay, and it's translated in the King James, I'm reading for the King James, as border. Most of your translation have corners, okay? Now, that Hebrew word is also the word for wings, okay? That's what it meant. The corners of this prayer shawl was wings. When it prophesied or when it told, this was the wings, okay? This was, these two corners became wings. We sang a song Sunday. You remember what it was? Hark the herald angels sing. It told about what? It told about the prophecy of the Son of God coming, who would have what? Healing in His wings. This is what He's talking about. Jesus wasn't an angel. He didn't sprout wings. Talking about the wings of the prayer shawl. Okay? Now, as He's going through the country, when Christ walks on the earth, and He's going through the country wearing His prayer shawl, the prophecy was that the true Messiah would have healing in His wings. That meant that these tzitziks would heal people, okay? And so the woman, remember the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? What did she grab hold of? This is what she grabbed a hold of. It's called, the Bible never gets it right. I mean, all the translators didn't know what that word meant. And so they just translated fringes, all kinds of stuff. But it's actually the tzitziks is what she was getting a hold of, which is a fringe, by the way. And so that's what she got grabbed a hold of. Now, when she grabbed a hold of it, what happened? She became well, didn't she? Because that's what Jesus did. There's a lot of passages in your Bible. Let's turn to a few. Let's see. Matthew 4, or 14, is one. That's the one I think we just talked about, but let's read it. Beginning at verse 35 and 36. And when the men of that place, no, it's another one. Okay. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased and besought Him that they might only, what? Touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. This is the piece of garment that they're touching. Isn't that neat? And it's an extension of the tabernacle. When they touched that, they were literally being transported to heaven, okay? And right in the presence of God. So it's pretty neat. Okay, now let's go on. Another one. Mark 6, okay. Verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into a village or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch if it were, but the border, the wings, actually that's what the Hebrew word would be, the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. What a wonderful God we have. That's what was going on when Jesus was walking on the earth. He was walking around with this tallit. Now, if he hadn't have had it on, there wouldn't have been no power there. Okay, the power came because he was wearing it. And that was the prophecy. The prophecy was that when the true Messiah came, you would know who he was by what? By touching his garment and being made well. Everybody there should have known that he was exactly who he claimed to be, but they didn't, did they? Because God blinded your eyes. But we do. We know who he is. And he was a wonderful and gracious and most loving God. And so this was the garment that he was wearing around. He wore one the whole time. Now there's a lot more to it than that, okay? This garment is a very, very special piece of garment, okay? It was the most holy thing that a Jewish man could own, okay? Now he receives one of these when he becomes 13. What happens at 13, do you know? What happens to a Jewish boy at age 13? He becomes a man. He goes through what is called bar mitzvah, okay? And that's the first time that he gets to wear his prayer shawl that normally is handed down to him through his father, okay? He gets to wear his prayer shawl and read for the first time publicly from the Torah. And that's what, I was there, by the way, in there when they were having these bar mitzvahs for the boys and got to see that. And that's what happens. The boy wears his father's tallit, and then he gets to publicly open the Torah, okay, in front of the wailing wall, was where they did it at, and read from the Torah for the first time in his life. That's what Jesus was doing when he went to the temple. Remember when he went to the temple? And he said, why were you looking for me? Because I was going about my father's business. And that's exactly what he was doing, because he became a man at age 13. And so he belonged to his father in heaven. Okay? And that's what he was saying. And so that was what was going on. Now, a female goes through what is called bat mitzvah. Okay? But she goes through bat mitzvah at age 12. Did you know, men, guys, that a girl matures much faster than you do? A whole year? They do. Okay, girls mature at an earlier age. And so they went through bat mitzvah earlier than the guy did because they were more mature than a man. And so they were age 12. Now that comes into being in one of the passages of Scripture. Okay, in Mark, the only place in the Bible that has the word tallit is in Mark. Okay, in Mark, Jesus is on his way, remember? Jesus is on his way to heal a young girl. Okay, and it tells you she was how old? 12 years old. Now, when you see that in the Bible, you need to understand she was 12 years old to the day. It was her birthday. She was exactly 12 years old. She should have been going through bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, but she died, okay? She died and Jesus was on his way. Now on his way there, okay, a woman came up to him and touched the hem of his garment, okay? It's in, you remember reading that? What did it say? That when she touched his garment, okay, it says virtue left him. Okay, he knew that power had gone out of his body. He knew that he had made somebody well. And so he said, well, who was it? Who touched me? And the disciples said, well, what do you mean, who touched you? There's all kinds of big crowds around you. Everybody's touching you. No, but somebody special did. And what did she do? She knew, he knew. And so she came up to him and said, I touched the hem of your garment and I was made well. And he says, fine. Okay, that's great. But he was on his way to heal another person. By the way, how long had she had the issue of blood? You remember? 12 years. The girl she's going to heal is also 12. You need to kind of put those things together because they're really neat. There's probably some reason for it. Okay. But anyway, he goes to the girl's house, and the girl is already dead. And she's laying on the bed, and the tradition was, okay, that a prayer shawl, her father's prayer shawl, would be then laid over her, okay, because she's now dead. So when Jesus comes to her, what does he do? He says he reaches out and takes her hand, and in that passage, it has the word talit kume, okay, which meant, and it gives you the translation, it meant little girl under the talit, rise. And she immediately, okay, was made well, got up and ate with the family, okay? So that's kind of, those are all really neat stories, okay? But there's some more stories that's even neater than that, okay? I want you to turn to John, the 19th chapter. We're going to look at a couple of passages here. John 19. Verse 40. I probably ought to be reading a whole lot more passages, but you read these passages when you get home, okay? Okay, this is when Joseph of Arimathea had taken down the body of Jesus, okay, and they're fixing to put him in the tomb. Verse 40 says, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in that place, there was crucified there. Well, verse 40 is the main one, what I want us to look at. Because it says that they wrapped him in cloths and then put spices in between the cloths, the burial cloths. They were about 4 inches wide. You had a passage on this just the other day about Lazarus, same thing. The tradition of the Jews was that they would wrap the body in these cloths, okay, with spices in between them, okay? And so that's what they did with Jesus. But the tradition was that they took the face and left it open. The face was not covered up, was bound up. What they did is took the prayer shawl and wrapped the prayer shawl around the head of that dead person. Jesus had his prayer shawl wrapped around there too. Now, once it was wrapped around him, okay, let's read again. Let's go on. Then he was laid in the tomb with the straps around him, with the prayer shawl on his head, and then jump over to verse 6 of chapter 20. Okay? Then cometh, this is the story about Simon Peter and John. Remember, they were told that Jesus had been resurrected. And so they ran to the tomb. And John stuck his head in. Okay, I think he was kind of afraid to go in. Peter wasn't. Peter, you know how Peter is. Peter's, you know, the real brave one. He ran on in. And so this is telling us what Simon Peter saw. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen cloths lie, and the napkin, here it's called a napkin. That he's talking about this prayer shawl. And the napkin that was about his head was lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Boy, that's pretty neat. there is a certain way that you fold this. We do the same thing with the American flag. Somebody out here, all you people have been in the, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The American flag has to be folded in triangles until there's nothing there but the stars, okay? If you have a dead person in your family that was died and they present a flag to you, that's what they do. They present the flag to you. This was the same way. This prayer shawl was so sacred that they had a specific way that it had to be folded up, taken off at night, and folded up. That's exactly what Peter was seeing. He was seeing this prayer shawl of Jesus, okay, folded up like a napkin, okay? Now, it's pretty neat because when you understand about a napkin, okay? Have you told them this before about a napkin? When a napkin, okay, when a king or a high official, okay, who has servants waiting on him, okay, he would eat. They would present his meat to him. They would give him a napkin, and he would use the napkin, okay, while he was eating. But if he was finished eating and didn't intend to come back, he left the napkin, or he wasn't finished, he left the napkin there, okay, all whatever. But if he folded up the napkin, okay, and set it beside his plate, he was signaling to the servants, I'm coming back. That's literally what Jesus was doing when he folded up this as a napkin. He's declaring to the world that he's going to return. And he did, didn't he? He did return. How much later? Third day, didn't he? Came back. And that was only an example. The 40 days that he was here on earth was only an example of the time when he's coming back for 1,000 years to rule and to reign and forever and ever and ever. So it's a pretty neat piece of equipment that God gave them. But there's a lot more to it than that, okay? Turn to a passage in Revelation. Revelation 19. It's talking about the return, okay? It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and the righteous, he doth judge and make war. Now, who is that? That's Christ, isn't it? It's when Christ returns. He's going to return on a white horse. White horse means he's coming back to be king, okay? And so it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, what? The Word of God. This is the vesture that he comes back. He's coming back with his prayer shawl. This was the one wrapped around his head. And what happened to his head? He had a crown of thorns there, right? There was blood there. So this is the vesture that's dipped in blood. He's going to return with this when he comes. I'll guarantee you, when Christ returns, he's going to have this with him. Okay, he's going to have that prayer shawl with him. By the way, his prayer shawl was made by his mother. That's pretty neat. Okay, now let's read on. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should might the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, okay, on his vesture, and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's pretty neat. Because you horse people out there, you know exactly what I'm going to do. Okay? When this prayer shawl is put on, and you're on a horse, okay? And you're on a horse, where are these titsicks? On your thighs. Now, what's in the titsick? the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. You follow what's going on? When he returns, he's going to return on a white horse. He's going to have on his tzitzit, and they're going to hang down in his thighs, because it tells you they have the name of Lord of Lords and Kings. That's exactly who he is, isn't he? Okay? Now, all of this is speaking of in the tabernacle. Not this particular piece. This is an addition I added on, so you'd really get interested in coming back. But that whole tabernacle is all about Christ, okay? All of the things they did in the tabernacle spoke of him and his death on the cross thousands of years before it ever happened. So I think that there is nothing more that you ought to know than that. If you don't know anything in the Old Testament but one thing, that ought to be it, okay? Because that is a very, very, very neat thing to know. And there are so many things. Now, we sang a song, Christmas, okay? Remember that song? Hark the herald angels sing. One of the verses in there said what? That when he returns, he would have healing in his wings. That's in that verse. And this is what it's talking about. Healing in his wings. I told you about that earlier, remember? And this is what it was. The prophecy was that exactly when the Son of Righteousness returned, he would have healing in his wings. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. And so when he walked through the earth, healing all these people, okay, he was proclaiming himself as who he claimed to be, the very Messiah that was spoken of in the tabernacle thousands of years before. Isn't that neat? Any questions? Are you puzzled? Did I give you too much information? Okay, if you are, come back, okay? Because we'll go over it again. In Sunday school. It's going to take a while. It'll take probably 4 weeks is what we plan on. 4 weeks. And they're going to have to be pretty short, because we got to have the worship in here. And so we're going to have to quit a little bit early. But I can't set up the entire tabernacle. I mean, everything. But I can set up portions of it so you understand what it is. And it is just absolutely marvelous. You that have studied the tabernacle, you know what I mean. Because every piece is designated to teach you about Christ and what he's done for you. We worship a fantastic, unbelievable God, okay? A God that is so good that we can't even comprehend it. When I think about God being good, I think about an old preacher, black preacher, called E.V. Hill. Some of you know who that is. E.V. Hill, very, very famous pastor in California. He had a deacon in his service that would come up to him every Sunday, and he would say, "Oh, Pastor, God isn't God. God is..." How he said it. He said, "God is so good," but he didn't put it in the right term. He said, "God am so good." That's what he said. "Isn't God am so good?" And the pastor said, one day he thought, "Well, I'll try to correct his English a little bit and get him to say the right thing." So he said, "Isn't God good?" And he said, "He sure am, ain't he?" that's a joke. I kind of messed up the joke, but anyway, I'm not a very good joke teller. Okay, so, but he is, isn't he? Isn't God good? Oh, wow. Even in the midst of all this rain, he's still good, isn't he? And so God is always good. He's always a wonderful, gracious, loving God. And that's the one we serve. So you ought to be really excited about serving him. You ought to be really excited about coming every day to learn more about him and what he's done for you. Okay? Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this study. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're such a wonderful and gracious and loving God, that you love us with an infinite love that we cannot even understand how much you love us and what you've done for us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that you'll help us to be the people that you'd have us to be. Encourage us when we're down, and give us the strength that we need so that we can share our faith with others. Let them know what they're missing by not knowing Christ as their Lord and Savior. Just go with us and guide us and direct us. We ask it all in your precious and wonderful name. Amen. I don't wear a watch, as you know, so I have no idea what time it is. I hope I didn't go.